Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. A day that we celebrate mothers. Do you know none of us would be here without mothers? Literally, no one on earth would be here without a mother. And all the existence of the earth, no one would be here without a mother. I guess you could say Adam and Eve because God created them. So there is that caveat there. Mothers are amazing. Mother's Day is a fun celebration for most, but not for all. For some, Mother's Day is difficult. It's the first Mother's Day they'll experience without their mother in their life. Perhaps it will be a first for a mother to experience without a child in their life. Perhaps it will be for a mother hoping and expecting for their first child, but yet denied once again. For some, it's a very painful day. But God meets us where we're at. Regardless if we're celebrating today or in pain and sorrow, God meets us where we are, and he loves us just the same, and he cares for us just the same. There's some mothers that are doing life with a husband at their side. Some are doing it alone. Some fathers that are doing it without their wife at their side, trying to pick up the pieces and how do I take care of the mothering aspects of raising children. I'm a guy. I know how to fix things. What else can I do? How do you cook and clean? Hopefully we know those things as well. But there are many different aspects. Some who have never had a child of their own, but yet have mothered their Sunday school classes, maybe mothered their educational classes in a school setting, maybe mothered the children in their neighborhood. Still, the gift of being a mother is inside of them, given by the living God to those around them. Some may be a spiritual mother within the church to those around them. Mothering is much greater than just having a baby. Mothering goes far beyond just having a baby. And it is a gift of the Lord inside of you. It is a gift from God Almighty inside of you to go out, to care for, to nurture, to raise, to train, to develop, to encourage. That's inside of each of us. We're kind of talking about mothers today, but we're going to talk about all of us too. As God has placed in us deposits to go forth and do, are we drawing from those deposits, accessing them, and pouring out into the world around us God's good nature, God's goodness and love and mercy and grace, because it is in us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, of course, God has just done all of creation, started to let there be light, and then plants and animals and fish and water and stars and moon and sun, the mountains and valleys. God's just created, and he gets to day six, and he's creating mankind. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Are any of you fully expressing all the image and likeness of God? This is not a good time to raise your hand. God is so great and so far beyond us. It takes up, for me, it takes up the world and all the different nationalities and people groups to express the likeness and image of who God is, and puts all of humanity into two categories, male or female, which we are distinguished by some DNA, some chromosomes, some reproductive anatomy. That's what distinguishes us. Beyond that, we are made in the image and likeness of God. But in our world, we've put boundaries on it. Well, men do this and women do this. Only guys do that stuff. Only girls do this stuff. And we put boundaries and limits on it instead of allowing each of us to express who we are in the image and likeness of God. I was at a basketball game over the winter at Clearwater Valley. I was out in the foyer talking with these three or four little kids. They were probably, I don't know, third or fourth graders. And three of them were like, "You want to fight us?" Of course, they're being funny because I'm always over there, you know, having fun with the kids. And they're like, "Come on, come on." I was like, no, I want to fight you guys. I'm afraid. And Jesus, is that you? Sorry, there's an elephant in the room. We have to talk about it. So I'm talking to these three or four little kids anyways. Like, no, I'm afraid. I don't want to fight you. You'd beat me up and I'd cry. And this other little guy over on this side, he pipes up and he goes, "Well, you're not a man then." I'm like, "Where'd you come from?" He's like, "Men aren't afraid. Men don't cry." What's your definition of a man? Somebody has told this little 6 or 7 year old, men don't get afraid and men don't cry. Not the representation of a man according to God's word. But we as humanity have put boundaries on what men and women can and can't do because of their gender, because of who God created them to be. God says, "I've created and made you in my image and likeness." Like, I can grab one of my kids and hold them and cuddle them. That's not just mom's job. Of course, they're getting bigger now, so now it's like this. But it's not just my wife's duty to take care of the child and only change diapers and only clean up messes and only feed our children. I have some of that responsibility too. It's not just a mother's job. So some of us as men might be a little more emotional than other men. It's part of my image and likeness of who God is in me. Some of us as men might be a little more tender and loving and caring. It's part of the image and likeness of God in me. And vice versa. You know, usually it's mom that's picking them up and, you know, "Oh, it's going to be okay. You're all right. Let's go clean that up and get a Band-Aid on it and get something on it so it doesn't get infected." And as dads, we're usually more like, "Hey, just rub some dirt on it. You'll be good. Get back to work. Get back to third base and quit crying." That's what we tell our baseball players. But generally by nature, mothers are a little more nurturing and caring, and men are a little harder and rougher. But we don't have to be, because I have the whole image and likeness of God to express my love for humanity in. I have all that God has given me inside of me of who He is to be. So don't get locked in to a box. And I love it as I continue to grow and experience who God is in my life, as I continue to grow in my relationship with my Creator, I get to experience more of who He is and more of who He's made me to be. And as men, sometimes it's typical for us to only express anger. That's the only emotion we get to let loose on. That's not okay. Yeah, we should feel fully all of our emotions. We should feel it's okay. God has built them into us as part of who He is in us. And you can fully feel all of your emotions. And it's okay. There are some parameters He puts on that. Even anger is an emotion He's given us. But it should be a righteous anger. The Word of God tells us don't sin in your anger. So there is a limit to how much of that we let loose. And he gives us this beautiful thing called the fruit of the Spirit. And within that, we have self-control. And we get to exercise that. So remember, don't live in a box. Who has God created you to be? As men and women, I sent some of my male friends Happy Mother's Day this morning. It's kind of a joke between us. And you don't have to be a mother to have a Happy Mother's Day. Did you know that? You can still have a Happy Mother's Day. And thank God that the world owes its existence to mothers. We're going to look at four different pieces of motherhood that apply to all of us as we look through Scripture through the lens of God and how we should respond to it. But encouragement, to provide, protect, and promote. What does that look like for mothers? Because mothers do this very well. And I'm going to tell some stories on my mom, who I think is sleeping in today because I haven't seen her yet. So encourage. Mothers are very good at encouraging, but all of us should be good at encouraging. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. Of course, Moses is getting ready to die. Joshua is getting ready to take his place. He's getting ready to travel across the Jordan River and begin going into battle, taking over the promised land. I mean, he's got a lot in store for him. He's getting ready to engage in hand-to-hand combat, literal battles, physical, sword, spear, bows and arrows, like bloodbath battle. Is what he's getting ready to go into when this word comes to him. The word of the Lord coming to Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Some of the things we face that lie ahead of us, we're aware of. We know we've got a big test coming up at school. We know we've got a big... For Joshua, it was a literal battle coming up. The Lord had promised the land to them, but they still have to go in and take it over. They still have to go in and face the inhabitants of that land and take it over. They still have to go in and physically fight the battle. Anybody ever face anything difficult? The promise of God is, be strong and courageous, for I am with you, and I will not leave you. Put me first in your life. I'll fight your battles for you. That's the encouragement, the promise, the word of the Lord. That's what we should be giving to those around us. Some of those, for me growing up, were, I always hated the ISAT test. I always had the state testing you had to do, you know, the fill-in-the-bubble kind. And I was always a really slow reader. And so, like, I would always watch the clock. And, like, the last 2 minutes of testing, it was like, C, 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 C. Because supposedly you can get, like, a 60% if you just fill in all C's. At least that's what somebody told me, and I believed it. But I could never get through the testing in the amount of time they gave you. So it was always the last 2 minutes was just popping bubbles. Fill them in. But the night before, my mom would encourage me. You have what it takes. You've prepared, you've trained, you've sat in class day after day, and she would make sure I got a good dinner, and she would make sure I got to bed early, and she would make sure I got up and had a good breakfast, and then pray over me and send me off to school. That's what a mother does. But that's something we see, we know we have ahead of us, a challenge coming up that we can prepare and encourage for. Some of our challenges, well, they're just unknown. In John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus is, of course, preparing his disciples, his 12 closest friends at this time. Hey, of course, he's not speaking as plainly as they would like, and they're not really getting the concept of what's about to happen to him, but He's saying, look, they're going to come arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to whip me. They're going to nail me to a cross. I'm going to die for the sin of the world. You guys aren't going to have me much longer. And they're going, what's he talking about? Like, you're the promised king. You're going to reign forever. You're going to fix the world. It's going to be amazing. But what they didn't know was all that was about to take place. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus speaking here, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So Jesus is encouraging them, telling them, like, I've come that you might have peace. And I'm telling you, in this world you're going to have trouble. Like, life's not going to be perfect. But take heart. I have overcome the world. That's some good encouragement. I've come that you may have peace. And don't worry, I've already taken care of everything. Even when things look tough and you have trouble and hard times, I've still got you. That should be encouraging. Do you encourage others in this way? I don't know what the future looks like yet, but I know that Jesus came for us to have peace, and I know he's taking care of the future. So I need to apply my faith and trust in him. One of the unknowns in my life as a young teen, I struggled with depression. And I was diagnosed bipolar at, 13, 14 years old. And really struggled. And of course, that was an unknown for me, for my family. But my mom encouraged me every day. She would write little notes with Bible verses on it, calling out who God says I am. And I struggled with suicidal thoughts and tendencies, and it was a rough patch of about 4 years of my life, maybe five. Those are unknowns. In this world, you may have troubles. But thank God for a loving mother who encouraged me daily. And I know it was hard for her. It was tough. I probably wore out her knees in prayer. But she drove me to my appointments to see my psychologist, my psychiatrist. Got up early, which I know she doesn't like to do. That's why she's sleeping in today. What would drive me to Lewiston, sometimes 2-3 times a week. Mothers encourage and stand in the gap when we can't stand on our own. But that's not limited to mothers. Thank God he has healed and delivered me from that. God is so good. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Sometimes it takes a while to get to the living in that space of his overcoming in our lives, and we've still got to walk through the troubles or the battles of whatever that piece of life is for us. But encourage those around you. All of us can give encouragement. You can acknowledge the truth of the situation. Yeah, this is the truth. You're in a bad way. You're mentally unstable right now. But the promise is Jesus has overcome the world. The facts of my life did not line up with the truth of God's word. At that point, it was something I had to believe in and walk out. Mothers also provide. Mothers are good at providing. As a kid, I never worried about where my next meal was coming from, what I was going to have to make for myself. My mother was always there providing for us breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it wasn't a thought. Now I think about it, because sometimes I cook for myself and have to think about that stuff. Or if I'm working away from home for the day, I have to think about, what am I going to need to get through the day? What kind of food do I need to sustain me? Or how many cups of coffee? Mothers provide. We all have a duty and responsibility to provide for those God has entrusted to us, those he's put in our lives. In Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Does that not take a load off? Seek God for provision first. Sometimes, if I'm being honest, I get stressed out. How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to meet our needs? What do I need to do? And then God reminds me, hey, I got you. And time and time again, God has proved faithful in that department. There was one fall I was super busy and wasn't able to hunt much. And I was like, man, I was stressing out about providing for my family some meat for the freezer to carry us through the year. And it was like weighing on me. It was a burden. It wasn't my normal load that I'm supposed to carry. It was a burden. And it was eating at me like, you're not good enough. You're not qualified. Shame and guilt were setting in. It was totally an attack of the devil upon my life at that time and trying to make me feel less than. And then this gentleman in the church said, hey, I want to give you half a beef. Do you have room in your freezer for it? Yes, I'll buy a new freezer if I need to, yes. And I could tell you dozens and dozens of those stories throughout my life where God has just supernaturally showed up, provided our needs that were stressing me out. But once I quit stressing and turned to him and said, Lord, I need your help, he showed up. God is faithful and he provides. Just as our mothers have provided for us, we should live a worry-free life. Remember that God is your supplier. He is your resource. I hope you see God as a resource in your life that you can tap into to seek even for provision. Not only provision, but spiritual needs, emotional needs, mental needs, physical needs, all of the above. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, another passage about provision. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, this whole passage is titled, Do Not Worry. Aren't you glad God gives us stuff like this? Hey, Arby, don't worry. I got you. Matthew 6, 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I have found that to be true over and over again in my life. To seek first the kingdom of God, and he will provide. And we have to remember there's needs and wants, right? God says he'll supply all your needs, not all your wants, though he blesses us with those occasionally also. But God will supply all your needs, what you need to sustain life, what you need to go forth and do the ministry he's given to you to do. God will provide. Don't worry, seek first the kingdom of God. Some of that provision is educational. As a young boy, I was probably 6 or 7, and we lived up Cottonwood Creek at that time, and I had a friend over. At that time, we had Sunday morning church and Sunday evening church twice in the same day. So like, it was common to go home with a friend or bring a friend home for the afternoon, then you'd go back to church, and then they would go back home. So this one particular Sunday afternoon, I was with one of my friends, and we were down playing in the creek all afternoon, and of course we had a time to be back to the house and get ready, and So we got back up to the house, and we had this little bucket with a snake and a frog and fish and crawdads. And Mom's like, "What are you doing?" Like, "They're pets. We caught them." It's like, "Go put them back in the creek. And whatever you do," because we had already cleaned up and got dressed by the time she figured out we had pets. "Stay out of the creek. Whatever you do, stay out of the creek." Of course, right? So we go back down to the creek, and there was a bridge that crossed the creek, and we go on the bridge, and we dump the little critters back in the creek, and my friend goes, looks at me and gets that smile and goes, "Oops, it fell," because it was one of my mom's Tupperware dishes. That's what it was. I was like, "Oops, it fell in." Of course, we have to go get it, right? So in our nice Sunday church clothes, we jump in the creek and play for another 15 minutes or so. Get back up to the house. Mom's not happy. "What are you doing?" "Your dish fell in the creek, and I didn't want you to lose your good Tupperware, so we jumped in to get it." And we had this fabricated lie of, like, I couldn't get back out, so he had to get in and help me get out. It was so dumb. Busted. So she goes, "All right." And for in our house growing up, like, that was rebellion to disobey. So, like, you're getting a spanking. So my mom takes me in. We had a freezer room at that time, kind of a back porch. And Mom takes me in there and gives me a spanking. And she said, "Have you had enough?" I said, "Yeah." She thought I said, "Nah." Then she unleashed the fury of God Almighty on me. And I don't know, I have some experience with spankings. It hurts a lot worse when everything's wet. It's definitely worse than dry. But she gave me a really good spanking. She provided for me an education. Do not dishonor your mother. Do not talk back to your mother. Do not lie. Do not rebel and disobey. There's a lot to be provided for, a lot more than just dinner. Yeah, we need an education. We need to learn how to treat others respectfully, kindly, generously. I learned a lesson that day. That's several of them, actually. But mothers also protect. In Psalms 91, verse 1 through 4. Fathers provide too. Don't think that you're out of the equation there, men. We have lots of things and needs to provide for our families. Psalms 91, 1 through 4. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. There's a lot that goes into protecting. There's a lot that goes into protecting. We are called to protect those around us, those that God has entrusted us with. And that can be as a family unit, as neighborhood, as community. How big of an umbrella has God called you into to protect, to care for? For me, I'd go to war over any of the kids at the school. Like, leave them alone. For my church family, church body I minister to, I'd go to war for you, and I would protect you. For my home and my family, I'll sell out. I'm all in protecting my family. God has built that within us. He is a protector. He is a provider. Some key points of this verse. Protection involves building a dwelling place that is safe. Building a dwelling place that is safe. When I was a youth pastor, I would have kids often show up on my doorstep at 1, 2, 3 in the morning. Because it was a safe place to come to have a conversation and still have kids show up randomly, or adults. But you have to build a safe dwelling, create a safe space. This dwelling will be a place of rest. Where can they come and rest? Where can they come and get rest? Have you ever been worn out, tired, and you just want to rest? Can I just come sit and not talk and fall asleep on your couch? Go for it. There it is. A safe dwelling is also a place of trust. Are you a trustworthy individual? Mothers are great at creating these spaces. A great dwelling. We call them homes nowadays. Not a house, but a home. In order to do this, we must be faithful. We must be constant. We must show up. To protect people, you have to be in proximity to them. You have to faithfully show up in people's lives, be a constant source of encouragement and provision for them. As I was reading this passage, it talks about being under the wings of God Almighty, and it reminded me of the story. I had a pretty intense run-in with a mother one day in the woods, and she probably only weighed 2 pounds, and I was on a 1,200-pound horse, and she attacked us. It was in the spring of the year. I was taking a client out to a bear bait, and we were riding horses in the mountains to go there. And we came around a corner in the trail, and there's this mother grouse in the trail with her little chicks running everywhere. And apparently we were threatening her because she opened her wings and started squawking and was like flying and jumping up my horse. Of course, my horse is freaking out, and we're having a high mountain rodeo. And I stayed in the saddle mostly in between bounces. But this mother grouse, I don't know if they're 2 pounds, they're little birds. 2 or 3 pounds maybe, is willing to take on me and 4 other horses. So like, we're a couple ton, you know, whole package deal. And this mother grouse, like, you ain't touching my chicks. Like, I will fight you feather and claw if I need to. I'll bite you with my little beak, but you're not touching my chicks. I've had every dangerous encounter I've ever had in the woods, I think, was with a mother of one sort or another. Mothers have this protective instinct, like, don't mess with my babies. I will fight for them. I will die for them. I will sell out for them. And you're not crossing this line, and they will face insurmountable odds. As men, we should do this also. Enough is enough. We should make hard lines, good boundaries. We don't cross this line. We don't go to these places. We create a dwelling that is restful, a place that is full of trust, faithfulness, where people can feel protected. I get calls as a pastor, probably, but I get calls from people all the time that are looking for protection from different situations or scenarios. Hopefully we as the church as a whole would be a place of protection that people could reach out to, a trustworthy people that would keep things in confidence, that would take care of and love well in those moments. The last one, promote. Mothers promote well. Have you ever been promoted? Pushed forward, pushed ahead. Jeremiah 29:11. Have you ever not lived up to your promotion? Anyone? Some of us? Maybe all of us at one time or another? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This word is being given to a group of people that have been in exile for 70 years. Not a hopeful people. Not of people celebrating life, saying, this is amazing. But they have been exiled from their homes for 70 years. God has good plans for you. Do you know that? God has good plans for you and I. Mothers have good plans for us. We don't always follow those plans, do we? My mom had good plans for me. Go to the creek, dump out the critters, come back home. I aborted the mission. I made my own plans, and I got into trouble, and I paid dearly for it. Same way in our lives. God has good plans for us. He has a hope and a future for us. But we have to align our lives with his plan. Proverbs 18:21, the last verse we'll look at today. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you know how powerful your words are? Your words have the power of life and death within them. Do you promote others when you're around them? You can call out what's happening currently. Wow, Arby, you're not very smart. You're making really bad decisions. Your life's horrible. You're going to go to an early grave. Any life in that? Arby, I can see that you're not currently living God's plan for your life. But he has a plan for you, and then begin to speak out what that plan is. That's the power of life and death in our tongue when we speak over people around us. What words are you speaking over those around you? Mothers are great at promoting and speaking words of life. They call out who God says they are, not necessarily what's happening. Just recently, my wife and I think it was on Monday, we went down to Lapway for a dedication of a building. And before going to Lapway, we went into Lewiston. Had a couple errands to run. Went into Lewiston. I didn't know the exact address of the building we were going to in Lapway, or I guess location. I knew the address. But we were going to in Lapway for this memorial dedication. And so we're in Lewiston. I just punched in the address, and like, I know how to get to Lapway. I've been there before. And so my little road commander, some little English gal, she's like, take this road, take a left at Gorell Avenue. And I'm like, I want to go left. I want to go out by the rodeo grounds, go down Webb Road. I want to go check out that country. So I've got my own mind of where I'm going. So I go past Gorell, and then she's like, at the next stoplight, take the left down Powers Avenue. I'm like, look, lady, I'm not going there. And of course, this goes on for about 8 or 10 more intersections. And finally, I'm like, to the last, I think it's 28th Street way out there. And she's like, take a left on 28th Street. I'm like, I still don't want to go that way. I want to go my way. And so I take the right where she says take a left, and I get down the road about a quarter mile to the next intersection, to the Waha Lapway intersection. And there's this giant road closed sign. Like, the whole highway is blocked off. Like, road closed. She never told me the road was closed. Well, she was trying to get me to go the right way all along. She was trying to give me good direction, but I wasn't listening. She was trying to promote me in a positive direction that would get me to my location the quickest. But I kept saying, no thanks, no thanks. And thank God, she's a really nice lady. She never once said, hey, Arby, you're dumb. Where are you going? She just said, like, rerouting, we'll find you another street to take. It's really nice. God is that same way with us. He has a plan and a direction for us. And he says, hey, Arby, here's the shortest my path to walk to get to your destination. And you and I sometimes don't choose it. We say, I'm going to just try this out. I think this is a better option, God. And he'll let us wander, and he'll let us hit the dead-end roadside, road closed sign. He'll let us go out. And he's so faithful and good to allow us to come and get back on his path. If we will repent and say, God, forgive me. I messed up again. God, forgive me. I want to get back on your path, doing life your way. God gives us that option over and over and over again. And that's what promotion looks like. We promote people in our lives. We can talk to people either, hey, you're making really dumb decisions, you're going to die soon, or hey, God has a better plan for you. Have you considered? I love calling out in young people, like seeing who God's called them to be. Even when they're this big, you can start to see their character traits, their attributes that God has placed inside of them. You're going to be a XYZ, whatever, when you grow up. I can see that God's given you the gifts of public speaking, of leadership, of counsel, of whatever, whatever. I can see God's given you business sense. But just calling out inside of young people and watching them grow and develop and mature into that. Mothers are good at promoting. They're good at being patient and kind while we grow through our troubles and pains and allowing us space to do that. So as you go about your week, think, how can I be more like a great mom? How can I be encouraging? How can I provide for those around me that God has entrusted me with? How can I protect better those around me that God has put in my place, in my sphere of influence? And how can I promote those around me? How can I call out the gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has placed inside of them? How can I be patient as they take the wrong path and redirect back to the right one? Happy Mother's Day. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the mothers in our lives. God, we thank you, God, that we owe our very existence to them, Lord God. And I know, Father, that this is not always a fun and celebratory day for everyone, Lord God. Some who have experienced maybe even horrible mothers, God, that were abusive and unkind and never yielded words of encouragement, never yielded words of promotion, who never provided and protected for. God, we understand that there are those people as well, God, and I ask that you would, God, bring to their heart, bring to their mind, God, that all these great gifts of a mother are still inside of them. God, that you have instilled since the creation, God, of us in your image and likeness, God, these abilities to bring forth encouragement, God, to provide for, to protect, God, to promote those around us. God, I ask that you would stir up these gifts, these character traits, these abilities within us. God, that we would, God, portray that side of you in your heart toward those around us. Father, we ask your blessing, God, upon our lives as we go about our days. God, and we ask an extra special blessing for all those mothers, God, the women. God, not just maternal mothers, but God, the women who mother those around them well, God, spiritually, physically, God, biologically. God, bless them, God, with strength. God, bless them, God, with encouragement in their own lives. God, bless them with provision and protection in their lives. God, bless them with people that would speak words of life that would promote them. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.